So today I wanted to take a different route than what we did last time. So maybe I was hoping to start with Padman and then maybe do a reverse chronology from there, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, cool. No problem.
All right. So we'll start with 2018. And I think that's when I believe Padman was released. I think it would be nice to understand where you were at that time, in the, not physically, but in the sense like, by that time, I think you had made multiple films, you know, Chinikam, Pa, Shamitab, Kienka. So mentally, like, what was like, where were you mentally at that point in time? Like, what kind of movies did you think that you wanted to make, and what were you looking for around that time? So maybe if you can set that stage for us, maybe it'd be good to explore from there, maybe.
Yeah, I see. I never, I've never been in a phase saying that I want to make this kind of a film or that kind of a film. It's always, what's the next idea is what I've always been kind of there. And after I finished Kienka, actually, Akshay called me one day and said that, okay, I want to meet you. I want to discuss something with you. So I met him. He said, and Twinkle was there. And she said, we met this Murganandam guy in London sometime. He's a fascinating story. I'd like you to make a film on him. I don't need to act in it, Akshay said. You can take anybody you want, but I'd like to kind of produce it. I said, one sec. I said, firstly, I don't do biopics. I'm very averse to doing biopics of anybody's life. But it puts a huge responsibility on me as a filmmaker. And secondly, I don't have much fun as a filmmaker when I do biopics because I'm trying to kind of portray somebody's life as well as I can. But whereas my trip of filmmaking is to kind of create a new world each time that I do something. So I was hesitant and I said, Akshay, I'm not very sure that I want to do a biopic right now. So he said, why don't you just at least meet up Murganandam because he's very interested in meeting you. So why don't you meet up? I said, yeah, I've heard about Murganandam. I know about Murganandam. I'll surely meet him, but I'm not very sure that I can write or want to write a biopic right now. So with that very, iffy kind of a mood, I wondered what I was going to get into. So I met Murganandam, I went to Coimbatore, I met Murganandam. Very strangely, 10 minutes after meeting Murganandam, I mean, he started talking. I was in a room with him in his workshop. He was making those machines and I was sitting there. He's the only chap, two other people were working. And suddenly he picked up a checkbook and started signing a lot of blank checks and threw the checkbook in the corner of the room. And then as we were talking about his life and everything, various people used to come, tear a check leaf, write their own amounts and go. He would never have anybody, even look. So I looked at him, I kept on looking back with various people coming into the workshop. So he said, Bhakti, what are you looking at? I said, see, somebody's coming and taking your checks. You're not worried about what they'll write. And because I'd seen him sign only blank checks. He said, no. Everybody knows how much money I owe them and whatever I need to be paid. Because if they take more, it won't be enough for the next person. There'll be only correct amount of money. There is only that much money I have in the bank. Everybody knows exactly what I owe them or what is due to them. So they come and fill the correct amount and go. It's very simple business. When you have less money, automatically people all will be very, very honest with you. I said, wow, that's a great thing. He said, see, this way, na, this, sometimes, he said, trust is sometimes cheaper than an accountant. Hiring an accountant. I said, wow, that's a new philosophy. I have only this much money. So if somebody takes more, the other person has to pay from that. The other guy will not have the money. So he will have to go collect it from that person. So nobody takes more. So I said, yeah, fascinating. As he kept telling me his story, end of the day, he told me he was in his white clothes in his workshop. He said, Parki, will you just drop me at that PSG college tech? I have to do a lecture there. I said, well, okay, I'll drop you. So, but do you want to go to your house and change and come back? He said, why change? And he had all the black stains on his, oily stains on his shirt. He said, no, why, I can go like this. Oh, I said, fine. He said, you know, problem is most people who work hard, why do they want to pretend to the world that they don't work hard? If I go home, change into a clean shirt and go there, people think I'll sit and work in an AC cabin. No, I'm actually dirtying my hands. I'm doing all these things, the machines. So the people must see now what I'm working. So why should they kind of do all this? I said, great logic. And then he told me two, three things about sanitary, because he knew if I was in advertising. So he told me, hey, you handle all this J&J, all these people and all that. So why do those people jump over the white fence after wearing sanitary napkins? Why are they jumping? How can they be so happy? I said, sir, they want to just show freedom. Freedom? Freedom from what? There's no freedom. The pain is still there. Everything is there. What does sanitary pad do? It only gives you the fact of menstrual hygiene. No germs will come. At least they can be safe. But the pain will all be there. If people don't understand, if you want to really sell sanitary napkins in this country, you have to sell hygiene. You will not get disease. That is what people are fighting shy. So it's so fantastic. He told me then a lot of companies started doing that menstrual hygiene campaign after Padman. But he was such a simple guy. As I spoke to him, I said, this is the most creative guy I've met. He's a creative chap in every book. I don't need to do any creative. I just need to do a nice film on his life. And it's a tribute to this man's creativity. So I got very fascinated by him. Then I wrote a story. Then I said, I'll make it into a love story. I won't do a side. I was very fascinated because I said, where will I get to do a mainstream film with Akshay Kumar with sanitary napkin as the hero? In that thing. It's a mainstream film. It's not an art house film. So I said, this is an opportunity. This itself was enough of an idea for me. A film doing a mainstream film with a sanitary napkin for the first time in the world. For me, if I want to do anything the first, to the best of my knowledge, it is the first time that anybody has done, I'm excited. So I really loved Murugarandam. I thought this creativity needs a doffing. This kind of creativity is like unimaginable. This kind of love for his wife. So I did it as a love story, and that's how I began.
Did it feel like, was he trying to sell you the movie as well? Like, I mean, in the sense that, you know.
He didn't give a damn. He didn't give a damn. He was just kind of, he was exactly how he was. That's what I really liked him for. He's always been like that.
Okay. So, what I'm curious about, or the thing that I'm kind of confused about is, you have had, or at least you had had that philosophy or this thinking that you will not make biopics. And I think the way at least you described it seemed like, you know, you were pretty stable on that. You did mention, you know, some of his, like, you know, his creativity and the story. The way I'm thinking about this is like, why only him? I mean, in the sense that, you know, there are so many other people that, you know, it could have gone every other way, right? Is it as simple as, you know, that encounter itself was sufficient for you that...
His tail had a different trip on it. He was the only guy to wear a sanitary napkin and test it out. That was strange. Second, for me, the biggest driving force was one man's passion for a product that he never even understood before. And made it. And for me, the second in a mainstream Hindi film to portray a sanitary napkin and talk about such a huge issue. After which it became, actually, Padman did more societal change as a film than anything else. And I sensed it then that if you do a film with sanitary napkin with Akshay Kumar as a hero, it will reach a lot more people. And to me, it was almost my first social film that I really had done. You know, I was very excited as a filmmaker to do a film on a sanitary napkin. It started like that. Murugarandam came second to me because that's the way he thought about life. For him, the trip was sanitary napkins, not his life. So for me also, that was the trip. So I thought that was original. The original thing was to almost take that as a topic and make a family of four people to watch it along with their kids. It's rare. You know, why will people pay to watch a film on sanitary napkins? That's what happened, and that's what that was the challenge, and that was a unique challenge for me.
So, you were kind of...
I never saw it like that when I said no biopic. I was seeing it as another person's life, but this was not about another person's life alone. This was about revolution. This is about, you know, even removing the shyness of people calling out a sanitary napkin in public, removing that barrier.
So, The novelty of the sanitary napkin idea being something that has not been done before, I feel like that's a double-edged sword as well, in the sense that, you know, it has not been done before, and there is a taboo around it, I think in some societies even today. So how did you, like, in the sense that how did you get, what made it from an idea to, like, you know, it can be a commercial movie?
I don't think of a taboo like that. I think of it as, I don't think it's a double-edged sword. I think it's only one edge, the sword is. Because when it hasn't been done before, and it is such a big societal issue, it's a fantastic opportunity. As simple as that.
You didn't think of it as like a risk? Risk?
Yeah, never. I was so excited by the opportunity afterward. From saying no to saying yes took me 3 days because I suddenly hit me saying, hero of the film is a sanitary napkin. Where would you find a mainstream Hindi cinema doing that? In fact, worldwide, it hadn't been done. That's what I loved.
So once you decided that, you know, this is an interesting guy with an interesting story, and maybe the sanity napkin at the center of it. How did you flesh out the story? I think one way people, like, I think bio, the way I think biographies are written, I think, you know, people, the biographers go and, you know, spend time with the personality, and, you know, spend weeks or months together, you know, get to know them. How did you end up, like, you know, fleshing out that story, figuring out what parts to include, what parts to not, and how to fictionalize this as well, like the way you were approaching that maybe?
No, the thing is, I heard about, I spent two, three days with him, not more than that. I really wanted him to tell me exactly how he made the sanitary napkin, that I wanted to be absolutely factual about it. I didn't want to kind of, you know, be anything... liberties to be taken with that, because I was clear, because if that's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people to start a business of sanitary napkins, that must be factually correct. And he trained me in actually making sanitary napkins. He actually showed me how to do that, all that stuff he told me. But as far as life is concerned, I actually did a very simple thing. I just said, I'm going to do a love story. I'm going to introduce another character, and it's going to be it's a triangular love story. And he's going to go back to the wife. I wanted to be a classical film. And of course, the incidents of him wearing sanitary napkins, how he failed, what I fictionalized a few things. I put in a few more characters like sisters, the kind of mother, all that is fictionalized. But what was very surprising is I used Sonam as the other girl, other lady, whatever, the woman. So when he saw I told Murugannan, come for the first day of the shoot. So he came for the first day of the shoot in Maheshwar. It was so lovely. So I was shooting Sonam first, the second half of the film first. So he told me, he had not even read the script, Murugannan. He was so confident, he was so, you know, trusting. So I was shooting with Sonam. He said, Balki, this, my wife is that, it's going to be played by Radhika Apte. Yes. Who is Sonam Kapoor in this film? So I told him, sir, it's the other lady. I said, you can't do everything on your own. Now you need some help from people and all that stuff. I said, but finally you'll go back to your wife as the story is. Don't worry, but there's a little fictional thing which I need to kind of do. He looked at me and he said, how did you know? I said, what do you mean, how did you know? I said, I just assume I want to make it interesting, so I put a fictional thing. No, there was somebody who helped me, who was this thing. Of course, it was a very good relationship. Nothing happened, but there was a person, but it was exactly like this. And I never told you this part of my life. Sorry, how did you guess? I said, I wrote a screenplay. See, life wants to be a screenplay. I can't help it. So it was so funny, actually. So there were things that I thought I'd fictionalized, actually, which turned out to be facts.
Okay. From the viewer perspective, I honestly thought that the Sonam Kapoor bit, that the whole part was like fictionalized. Okay. How much time did it take you to write the movie, like the screenplay?
I wrote this in about 2 months.
Okay. And did you, like, since you mentioned that, you know, Murugannan had completely trusted you, so in terms of, like, cooperation-wise, there was no issue, right? Like, in the sense that...
No, there was nothing. He never even read it. He saw the movie only.
Okay. How did you go about, like, deciding to cast Akshay Kumar for the role? Like,
Akshay called me. I said, it'd be fantastic. It's not about casting Akshay. In a lot of ways, I thought he was exactly like Murugannan. He's this guy who doesn't make a fuss about anything, Akshay, as a person. So Murugannan also that. And more important, and of course, that was one. Secondly, I just thought that you need a very big star to kind of pull off a film like this on sanitary napkins. Otherwise, who's going to watch it? So that was for me a very simple thing. Akshay told me, I don't need to act in it, Balki. Don't be forced by me. I said, no, I'm not forcing. I'm forcing you. You have to act in this film. Otherwise, how can I do it?
Was he hesitant to do it?
Since he had called me, he thought that he should not put the weight of saying, I want to act in the film on that. He also saw the power of the film. He also loved the script when we finished with it. So I think, no, it was actually a no-brainer casting. I can't even see who else could have done it.
And while you were doing Padman, like, in the sense that, did you have some other projects in mind that you were, you know, wanting to pursue and, you know, maybe had to put in the back burner and maybe...
No, I never do that. I always do one thing at a time. I don't do that. I don't have other projects and back burners when I do. A film is not possible to have 5-6 films in your... You can have ideas in your head, but it's not like projects going on simultaneously, you know.
How was it? I think it was your first time working with Akshay. So, yeah. Like, one thing I know about Akshay is, like, I've heard, like, he's very punctual on sets and, like, in that sense, there's no delay per se. Any other experience like that? Like,
No. That's all just what you hear. That's all hygiene for Akshay, because he is on time. He's very fit. He works really hard. All that is absolutely superb. But what I was really amazed by was the sensitivity of performance in this film. And he also thinks it's his best performance, because when we went to the US, actually, he asked me, why are we going to the US? I said, I want to do this exactly in the place that actually Muruganandam made a lot of... He went to Harvard or Yale or somewhere and kind of did this lecture. So I said, I want to do it United Nations. But I don't want to shoot in the United Nations. I want to shoot in one place overlooking Central Park. But I can easily do it on green screen and I can put the whole Central Park there. But no, I want to do it live. So Akshay said, fine. So this was a 13-page scene. 13 pages of dialogues he's got to stand and deliver. I mean, for any Akshay Kumar film, imagine a 13-page dialogue climax. That's the film. So many times, so he likes narrating. He likes me narrating to him millions of times. So I keep saying the same thing. So he follows a lot of the nuances when you kind of talk. Because I write my dialogues in a different way. I don't write it in the normal dialogue way. I write it like half broken, like people speak. So he's heard it out. We had 3 cameras all put up. Day of the shoot, he comes. Of course, there are teleprompters. He doesn't even look at one teleprompter. 13 pages are rolling. And the audience is there. He does the whole scene of 13 pages in one shot. And we packed up. We were supposed to shoot for 2 days. We finished in 2 hours and we left the United States. We just shot for 2 hours and we did some arbit things in the evening just to kind of make up, do something. But he was so miraculous and he just broke down at the end of doing 13 pages. That's the time I realized what a performer this man is.
I think you're talking about that final speech. So I'm curious. So I had watched the final scene, and soon after the movie ended, I watched Muruganandan's one of his TED talks. His English is not that broken. So any reason why, like, did you put that part in, like, where his English
is pretty... is far more broken than that, because this was a later TED talk that you see. If you see his original TED talks, which was there, his English is very broken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this one, I think the one I'd watched was 2011, I think, 2011 or 12.
Yeah, there were many things before that.
Understood. Okay. On the choice of Radhika Apte, any specific reason why you chose Miss Apte?
I feel that though she's exactly the opposite of the character in her life, she's one of those people who are like, you can do a person who's like, who really loves, she's a very sensitive actress, number one. And she's got the face of this little small town kind of girl who can do this. And I need a brilliant actor for this, because it's tough to play a girl who's embarrassed about what her husband is doing and not doing it in a very usual kind of way, in a very, very sensitive way. And Radhika just understood that. I mean, she's exactly the opposite of this. She's the most progressive human being I've met. But she's to play a role exactly the opposite of her for her was a big challenge.
Did she, like you said, right, like she's the opposite of the character. In that sense, was it like difficult for her to, like, did she face, I don't know, was it hard for her to, like, get into the character or...
Not
like,
at all. Or, she's a supreme performer. Yeah. She's not, she's a seasoned performer.
So just related to this, is it fair to say that, you know, at that level of acting, I mean, at that level of when, if somebody reaches that stage of like, you know, acting in feature films, generally roles is not an issue, like in the sense, like no matter what roles you give them, like people are fluid enough to like really, you know, get into it.
But you tend to cast people also based on their, on the way they look, the way they are more comfortable with certain kind of things. I like to cast people like that. In fact, like Sonam is a lot like what she is in the film, you know. She's the Mofat. She's kind of says it as it is. She's very kind. She's a lot like this. She's modern. So I tend to cast not against what they are mostly. I tend to cast more or less what they are.
So I was going to ask you, like, why Sonam as well? So is it fair to say, you know, she's just like the character, or is there more to it on?
No, like, I meant Sonam. I really like because this was a girl who shouldn't give a damn about anything the world is kind of thinking of. She's kind of amused by this entire thing and likes the guy, but she's very cool. Actually, in real life, Sonam's really cool. So I like that thing about her.
Another thing I noticed was, so this is a movie where I think Mr. Bachchan is not involved. I mean, in the sense, not like I'm messing up two movies at once. I think Mr. Bachchan narrates the movie, isn't it? Like,
No. He plays a cameo. He is the one who, he plays a very important scene in the middle of the film.
He gives the award, correct.
He gives it the name Padman.
Correct. Like, did you involve him because you wanted Mr. Bachchan to be involved in this project as well? Or like, was there...
You know, I like Amanji to be in every film of mine. But, you know, while we always keep searching for the next script for us to do as the main, you know, as a script based on him, I always tell him till then, there'll be some very important cameos that every film. He's never ever said no. He's just come and done everything for me pro bono.
Oh, okay.
He's done absolutely, he's not, sometimes he won his own clothes will come. I've never even had to stitch costumes for him.
Okay. In terms of like during shooting the film, I mean, were there any like difficulties which were probably not there earlier in your films? Is there something like that, or do you think it was like mostly smooth?
There was one thing I was a little worried about, because I was shooting in a very beautiful place in a very holy place by the banks of the Narmada, and it's in Mysore, which is a temple town. It's a very famous temple. It's one of the few temples in India where they've not painted badly or refurbished badly or whatever. It was just kept in the whole thing. I wanted it shot there. There was a scene where he was with this cow blood, and he was pumping the bladder, pumping that pump, and for him to test out his own sanitary napkin. And when it bleeds, he would jump in the holy river. So, of course, it was all artificial stuff. But I was very scared of what the real people who are watching this entire shoot, all the holy people, all the devotees and everything, would react. He said, let's finish this shoot fast and everything. But so surprising that a whole lot of women, all the people who were there, clapped when he jumped into the stuff, this thing, and they knew about the film, saying, what a lovely thing you're doing. This must be told. The story must be told to people. These are villagers and small town people telling me this kind of thing. It's so fascinating. We underestimate people for their conservativeness, and they're all actually quite progressive. They just don't talk about it, that's all.
Did you expect, I mean, commercially, the film did very well. But I mean, it also won a national award for the best social issue film as well. So first of all, just want to like, I want to go back to the earlier, like, where, you know, this could have gone either way. Did you feel like, were you surprised by the outcome in terms of like acceptance and the way, the kind of maybe the change that it brought about in talking about this issue, was that unexpected for you, or did you think, because, you know, it's the script is good, good, big stars as well. So any comments on the outcome and the acceptance by, you know, people as well of the project?
No, the film was a box office. It worked at the box office, but it would work much, much better if it hadn't clashed with this Padmavat, which was coming on that same day, because it had a lot of controversy. We were supposed to come on January 26th. We had to postpone the release because of Padmavat. They requested us. So all that happened, but forget the box office performance, of course, was very satisfactory for us. But what was more important was the kind of change that it brought about, not only in people's behavioral pattern, also in government policy. Like, after the film, I think the railway ministry, actually in a lot of the small town railway stations, the railway ministry allocated land for women entrepreneurs close to railway stations to set up factories, pad factories, to start businesses in all kind of villages. You know, vending machines were started in a lot of government outlets, government offices, government things. The concept of menstrual hygiene was taken deep and wide by so many NGOs after this, on the strength of this. So I just felt that the kind of impact, social impact this film had over and above as a film and as a box office performance was far more than the box office of this film.
Did it? Did you anyway feel like, because of the success and the social change that you mentioned, that, you know, you only want to do maybe social change kind of movies, or, you know?
No, I never want to make social change. Even Padman, I didn't want to kind of do it as a social change movie. I think I just did it as a fun sanitary napkin film. I just want to do a love story with the sanitary napkin as a hero. That's how I looked at it. Social change is a fallout of anything that you do with a clear intention. I didn't intend it to be a social change, because no social change happens by preaching. You tell a story and people take out whatever messages they want from there. You know, so that's all we did.
What do you think connected the most with the audience from the story of Padman? Like,
I really think it's about, it's people, it's a love story. It's what would a man, what all can a man do for a woman? Also, they connected with the fact that a man was willing to do so much for a woman's menstrual hygiene.
I think the aspect of shame is stressed on multiple times in the movie. Like, I think...
Yes, a lot. Because that is lot. The crux. That's the crux of what you're fighting.
Right. Did you notice that people were talking about the shame aspect where, you know, maybe that's no longer needed, even in like 2018? Was that like a... Did you get feedback like that?
No. People were just saying... Why people even, some people in my office, when we were discussing the film, I used to get all these sanitary napkins put on my table and I used to rip apart each one of them and the cotton would be flying all around. I want to check the cotton in that, all that stuff. Some women who were coming, why do you just put it away, clear the table. I said, why are we doing a sanitary napkin film? You know, they're a little embarrassed to kind of, you know, discuss openly and rip apart the sanitary napkins and touch the sanitary napkins, all that. It's like a private thing. They said, let it be private, whatever. You do a film, but don't do all this. I said, how do you do a film when you guys are embarrassed about all this? So I took it out. So it's there in the biggest cities, in the biggest, most affluent societies. This shyness of going to a shop and asking for pads itself is a big thing. Today, people will go and ask for sanitary napkins. In 2017, I know the change, what was there. In 5 years, the ease with which people ask for sanitary napkins is at a different level today.
You know, initially when I did hear of the movie and around 2018, that was actually my initial thought. And, you know, this speaks to the bubble that I'm also living in, where initially I did think like, how is this even a taboo? I thought it was like very natural for somebody to ask for sanitary napkins. And I just thought it was a given. And, but it is apparently not so. And also,
you should just speak to your mom. You know, if you speak to your mother, if you speak to the women in your family, you'll understand. When you start speaking about sanitary napkin, they'll say, no, what's your problem? They'll change the topic.
Correct. No, absolutely agree. But also, this was even, like, this went even further when I came to know that this movie was, I think, not released in Pakistan as well due to it being of a taboo, sensitive issue. And I was like, what is happening? Like, I mean, it is like, it was very surprising to hear that things like sanitary napkins are not being allowed to discuss in society. So, I think there is a still long way for like society to like, you know, go along or march along in this aspect. Were you also surprised by Pakistan, it was not released, but I think in territories like China, it did really well. Any theories on why in some overseas territory it has done extremely well? Do you think it's just the story element or...
Also the cultural kind of significance of that problem. You know, where the problem is so prevalent. In the majority of the world it is. But where it connects, I think China had connected. I think even in Japan it connected. It connected wherever in the world. So it's all about how much it was marketed. See, it did very well when it came on OTT in a lot of other countries where it wasn't released.
How did you get the name Padman? Like who? Like how did you come up with that name?
I just said it's. I mean, the same line: the Superman, Spider-Man, Padman. We should do this, Batman. So I said, he's a Padman. Whatever.
And the reason for my guess is the reason for like keeping it in like the year 2001, 2002 is just to be faithful to Murugananthan, is it? Or is there any other reason?
No, also the technology. You know, you didn't have the internet so much that those days. And you know, there was a lot of technological problem because to even to reach from place to place, to communicate to people, to find out facts, those needed to be very authentic.
Understood. Is there anything that surprised you about the movie, like Padman? I mean, anything that was unexpected or...
No, I was really not surprised as much as really touched by the effort Akshay has put into the performance of this film. Because he really worked very hard at it. He gave it all. And also for Twinkle, this is her first production. So it was like a very... very dear film, and it's the first time you're breaking something in mainstream commercial cinema anywhere in the world. So that itself is a great excitement, actually, not a pressure.
Anything else you want to add on Padman that I haven't touched on, or that you think is important, which I didn't bring up? Any aspect of the stories, or some themes that you wanted to maybe dwell on, which I didn't bring up? Is there anything like that?
No, I'd always wanted to, even while marketing the film, I was very clear that, yes, we would say Saturday, but it could be like marketed as an entertainment film, not as a preachy social message film. So if you see, a lot of stuff where how it was marketed, it was, the trailer was like a fun trailer. It was more like, it's a comedy. It was a comedy, actually, in a lot of ways. So that I was quite happy. I didn't like the fact that somebody did this pad challenge and had all the actors take up a pad. I didn't want those kind of things happening, but they happened by force of some distributors or producers who were trying to do something there. And I thought that was just putting it in your face. You didn't need that kind of promotion. But I was very happy with the way we started off marketing the film until Padmavat came and confused the release dates and all that stuff. I just wish we had a clean release time, which would have been much, much bigger.
Can you comment on the release date? Like, I'm not clear in the sense that.
See, Padmavat is a film mired in controversy for years, for months actually, for over 1 year. All the Karni Sena, everybody was against the film. Film had become very hot, as kind of like a banned film. They were threatening the censor board. So finally, after a lot of discussions, government they had come across a release date of Jan 26. We had already announced the Jan 26 release date. So they came and said, can you push the film because we need a solo release because it's a very expensive film which gone through so much of controversy. So we needed that stuff. For us, Jan 26 was a great time for it to release because first of all, it's a public holiday. It's a great thing. But then also if we had come on the same day and they had come, it would have eaten into our business as well as their business. Didn't make any sense for us. So we kind of backed down saying that, okay, we will go come 1 week after that. So we came on a non-holiday, which affected our business, didn't affect theirs. But the fact, I wish we had come, let's say, 5 months down the road on Independence Day or something on a separate day, because it needed a national holiday for this kind of a film to make a statement.
Is it possible in general, I mean, to push movies for like 5 months?
Yes, you can. Of course, the release date is the most important thing in a film.
Okay. Any criticism of the movie that you thought was valid, invalid?
I never read reviews. I stopped reading reviews after Chini Kam. Till Chup, only when I was doing Chup did I go back and read whatever has been written about any film about me, just to exercise myself of these things. But a lot of people wrote some very nice things about it. A lot of people found like they had some very blasé things to say about it. But critics being critics, they are the least knowledgeable about cinema. I always believe critics are the least knowledgeable about cinema. They have no idea, most of them. there are very few good critics in this country. So it's really not worth taking their word very seriously.
Do you think this is your most well-received movie?
No. I don't think it's my most well-received film, but it's a film I'm most happy about. I think this and Chup would be films that I'm really happy about. Like, I couldn't have done it better. But my most well-received film was, I think, Chini Kam. And maybe, strangely, even Goomer. Because Goomer is loved and more received. Goomer has become the biggest hit on OTT because it didn't, again, it got sandwiched in a release date on a wrong date. But on OTT, it made up for it like crazy. So in terms of reception, I think Goomer has been received really well. But Chini Kam was received like unanimously.
I'm surprised you didn't mention, I thought you would say Pa because it won national awards and it won.
Pa received well by a lot of people, but there are some people like, it wasn't like universal. But when I say universal, I mean people also. I mean people as an audience. The audience loved Chini Kam. Audience loved Goomer. A lot of the audience loved Pa. Some people thought it was could be a very depressing film and didn't come. But it wasn't, and they found out later it wasn't. So Pa was 75% well received. But Amitji was hugely 100% well received in Pa, completely. I don't know. I felt Padman was a very satisfying film.
Is there anything you would change about the movie now that in retrospect or
nothing? I won't change. It's a classical film. It's actually a very classical structure.
Understood. All right. So I think at this point, I would rather than going to Kiyanka, can we go to Shamitabh? Because I think understanding Shamitabh is very important to make maybe transition over to Kiyanka. Is that fair? Or
yeah, cool. Okay?
All right. So Shamitabh was released in the year 2015. And if I'm not wrong, the movie that you directed before Shamitabh was Pa, which was released in 2009. So first of all, can you tell us why the huge 6-year gap, if I'm not wrong?
Because in the middle, I was very busy with Lintas. And secondly, I was also producing English for English, which took a lot of my time in between. So actually, English for English came out in 2011. It's actually tougher to produce a film than direct one. I realized that because I was not a producer at heart. So I learned a new profession. So that took a lot of my time. That's why it was.
Understood. So, you know, you were producing English for English, I think released in 2011, 2012. After English for English, after you put it, after the project was completed, what is happening in what is happening in your mind in the sense that you're looking for ideas? Were there like multiple ideas competing for your next project?
I don't do films like that at all. I don't search for ideas to do. This happened very accidentally. I was going to Amitji's house for his birthday to wish him. There was a party or something. So I was going, I was in a cab and it was very hot and there was a lot of traffic and I didn't have any gift for me because he's a teetotaler and I can't give him flowers. So I didn't know what to give him. So I was sitting in the car and I didn't know what to do. And then suddenly I said, the best thing I can give him is an idea for another film. So I quickly thought of an idea and I said, shit, what is the thing? I celebrated sarcasm. I celebrated his childhood. How do I celebrate his childlike quality in him? How do I celebrate his, what else to celebrate? His voice. I said, oh shit, it's a blind spot in his face. So why can't I put it on somebody else's face, find a technology? And I actually have this theme of everybody needs somebody else. There's no one person who can make it all on his own. So I went to Amitji's house and said, Amitji, happy birthday. I have a gift for you. He said, where is it? I was empty and so he said, if you give me 1 minute, come to the corner, I'll tell you. I'll give you the gift. So he came to the corner and I just told him, this is the idea. He said, okay, let's do it. He just shouted there and I said, okay, done, let's do it. Then actually, this is a film that I was supposed to do with with Shah Rukh and Amitji. It started like that. And Shah Rukh was also very excited about it. But a few things didn't work out. We spent nearly a year actually convince, trying to write it so that it would do justice to both of them. Finally, I think it didn't work out for whatever reason. And then I was fortunate to meet Dhanush, who was very excited to do this stuff. So that's how that thing happened. Shamita had its various avatars. It started like a very different film with Shahrukh and Amitabh. It turned into a different film with the idea being the same. It just turned into a different kind of tonality of film with Amitabh and Dhanush.
So, one digression, which is when you mentioned you took Mr. Bachchan to the side and told him the script. I'm just curious, how many movies do you think gets pitched to Mr. Bachchan, on a weekly basis? Is that a lot?
Of course, I'm sure they are. But this was something... See, I think Amitji has always indulged me in listening to my ideas from Chinikam time. So we had done Chinikam and Pa. So I just took a little liberty with him to kind of just bounce this idea off like that. So he was very kind to listen. And he always gets excited like a creative person would on an idea. So I like that about him. So I'll always tell him an idea. If he likes it only, then do I write it. That's always that. Shamita, he loved. He insisted it be done. Even when he could not do it with Shahrukh finally, then he said, let's do it. We have to do this film. Then Dhanush came on board. That's how it began.
I don't know this as a fact, but is it fair to say that you have worked with Mr. Bachchan the most,
No, it's not. He's done more cameos actually, but actually as a film, I've done three main films with him, and a hell of a lot of cameos with him and a lot of ads. But yeah, he knows about every film that I do. I think he's read most of my scripts because there's always a cameo for him, and I say, you please read the whole script so you know exactly the role that you're playing in. I'm sure Manmohan Desai or Prakash Mehra or somebody have done. I've done a lot more films with him, mainstream films. I hope to do more with him. Let's see.
Inshallah. So another thing that you mentioned, which would be nice to clarify, which is you said you don't look for movies, which I found kind of weird in the sense that, are you confident that you will get an idea somewhere, or is that the reason why you're not actively looking for or scouting for multiple projects or reading books for ideas or stuff like
no,
that?
I'm not desperate to do a film. I just keep thinking, and when you're thinking, okay, let's think of an idea. And you're thinking, something happens, you don't sit and think of an idea. Suddenly an idea comes in and say, hey, this is interesting. Let me just mull over this. See, the writing can be done in a very disciplined process. The idea for a feature film, you need to let it stay in your head for enough to make sure that you're still interested in it after a little while. That's when it kind of earns the right to be a feature film, you can get excited by many ideas in the short run, but you just let it kind of be in your head and see, okay, how much are you still excited by?
So I'm interested in the movie that was not made and also the movie that was made. I don't know how much you can comment on it, but so if I'm not wrong, the idea that you pitched to Mr. Bachchan on his birthday, so I think that idea was with Shahrukh in mind, right? Is that fair? Understood. Yeah. And if I'm not wrong, you also mentioned you guys spent a decent amount of time, if I'm not wrong, about
a year. Spent nearly a year fine-tuning this, doing that. I think a lot of reasons, it didn't work out because of... I think it's all about sensibilities also, how you want it in a certain way, how I saw the film, how Amitji saw the film. Finally, it was quite clear it was an ode to Amitabh Bachchan's voice. So it had to be about that. It can't be about anything else. But yes, a Shahrukh film was slightly different because it was him as a star, and Shahrukh had the aura to kind of, do that. With Dhanush, he's a phenomenal actor, but not as big a star as Shahrukh is in the Hindi film industry. So I had to tailor it and not do the Shahrukhisms, which was there in that script, as much as it was for Dhanush. I had to make more of the performance angle of it come alive, as an actor come alive. So that was the change. There was a lot more masala in Shahrukh's script. Masala in the sense, I don't mean the normal fighting masala. It's the kind of more, confrontations and more ego and more battles between the two of them. And But Dhanush, I had to focus on telling the world what a great, first Dhanush's performance had to be seen by the world for people to kind of, you know, it can't get into an ego without them knowing what a great actor Dhanush is. So I spent a lot of time on that.
So again, I going back to, I'm like very, like when you spend a time, like about a year on something, was it easy for you to deal with like letting that go in the sense that,
no, it wasn't. See, sometimes it drains you out completely and you want to drop the film. And I did drop the film, till we picked it up after a few months. But Dhanush came because, sometimes there are some ideas, it's not about the film. This was a very special idea because it was an ode to the greatest voice of India, okay? It's the voice of Indian cinema. There are only two voices of Indian cinema. One is the singing voice, one is the speaking voice. Singing voice, Lata Mangeshkar, speaking voice is Amitabh Bachchan. Very clear. So this was the speaking voice of the industry. So as an ode, as a film, I needed to do it. I can do it only with Bachchan. I can't do this film with anybody else, you know? His voice had to be there for it to make sense. So to me, it was a very time-bound and it was very important that we did the film. So unlike other films where you can drop it if things don't work out, this is not something I could drop it because the idea was very, very dependent on him and his voice. So I had to do it. I had to do it and not postpone it indefinitely.
Is it fair to say that after Shah Rukh left the project, you did not want to go through that experience with any other Bollywood actor and maybe, somebody who might be relatively new to like Hindi cinema? Is that a fair statement or am I completely off here?
No, I didn't see it like that. See, it all depends on how you see it. I always wrote it for Shah Rukh and Amitabh and Amitji. So therefore, I never saw it with anything. It takes a little time when you're so fixed on an idea for a long period of time. And then to see it with somebody else takes a little time. Actually, Amitji made me see it differently. Amitji said, see, why are you so obsessed about a star in real life? Why are you taking this perception of real life into cinema? Why don't we are performers. We can do something. So why can't we have another great performer? I said, then Dhanush is somebody I met. He said, yeah, Dhanush is a fantastic actor. Why don't we do that with Dhanush? I was not sure because I also believe that cinema sometimes feeds off what people think of the actors in personal life too. So you see Shah Rukh as a man who's got the stature to take a Bachchan's voice. I was always scared whether anybody would see anybody else as a person to carry the voice of it. See, you can see it intellectually as a film lover, you can love it. But as an audience, mass audience, if one superstar takes the voice of another superstar, it has a lot more masala in it. To do that. So that was what I was fixed on. But then, you know, I just felt that with Amitji's little bit of persuasion, I said, okay, let's do it.
So let's go back to the writing stage, right? In the sense that, so you already had like a script ready and then that didn't work out. How much of it did you have to like...
No, I didn't change too much of it. It was some key portions had to be changed because I had to adapt it to the new actor coming on board. I always believe in writing for the actor. It's not just a character that people can walk in. Like when you're writing for Amitabh Bachchan, you can't put Amitabh Bachchan in any character. You have to write for Bachchan with that character in mind. Not write for the character with Amitabh Bachchan in mind. That's very different things. I felt similarly, I had to redo a few portions based on the perception of Dhanush, perception of Amitabh, what it is. So those things I had to kind of, you know, fine tune.
How difficult was it for Dhanush to even to play that character, but also like...
I think it's Dhanush's most difficult role and most difficult performance because for a very simple reason. On the face of it, you don't think it's a great, so difficult. But try acting. This is a film that I dubbed beforehand. So we dubbed the whole film before. Okay? In Amitabh Bachchan's voice.
Can you tell us what that means?
Dub means I had all, like normally you shoot a film and there are some, today we shoot in sync sound, so we got the sound ready, recorded. But in a lot of films that you just shoot the sound, but it's a pilot sound, you have to go to the studio and redub every dialogue. Okay, it's the same thing. What we did beforehand without shooting a single scene we had Amitabh speak all of Dhanush's dialogues because it's going to be in his voice anyway. And while shooting live, we played the audio and Dhanush had to sync, lip sync to that audio of Bachchan. Now try playing Amitabh Bachchan recorded voice and try acting a scene for his dialogue and not acting like Bachchan. It's very difficult. So for Dhanush to do that and kind of get a personality of his own into that is a mind-blowing effort.
How much do you think, was the language barrier a huge issue for him to like kind of, did you have...
There was no language. Dhanush understood it. Dhanush understands Hindi very well.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Okay. No, I mean, so understanding is one thing. Like even I can understand Hindi pretty well, but I can't speak fluently.
He's not going to speak. No, he's going to mouth. See, if you were to speak the whole thing himself, you'd have had a few diction issues. But he's just mouthing it. But if you understand what he's trying to say, you can get all your emotions right.
Understood. So one thing you mentioned is like the dubbing where I think Mr. Bachchan dubbed the, what is that? He dubbed for the whole movie before you shot a single scene. Are there any other technical challenges due to the nature of the idea that you had to do differently from your other projects? Are there more instances like that or stuff?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's funny living in a graveyard for 15 days. You know, we shot in an actual graveyard in near Ooty, near Kunur. And we actually put up a shack there in an actual graveyard. So imagine having chai, coffee, everything on somebody's grave. It's a beautiful place. It's like a picnic spot. But still, it's a graveyard. And it's a complete Tiger Hill graveyard. And they were very conscious of the film that we were doing. But it is a very, very tough thing for people to live amongst the dead for 15 days. You know, so that's what we did. And we shot extensively. Amitabh Bachchan has never been in gutters. We actually put him in a gutter outside. We actually took him to all the famous studios. There was a famous studio in Bombay. There was other studios. We took him to real studios, put him in the gutter. He wanted to do it absolutely realistically. So taking this man to the centers to shoot with him in today's time, I mean, at that point of time, was almost an impossible task, but we achieved it. Because I think Shamita was one of those maximum locations in Bombay we've covered. And besides Ooty, besides Finland, we also shot, we wanted to go to shoot a song in Lapland, I remember. It was something we almost, all of us went. It was in the Northern Lights area in Finland. We went to shoot something with Dhanush. We were snowed out, marooned. We had to walk 12 hours without knowing our way in the snow. So it was actually fraught with a lot of adventures, Shamita. But otherwise, I feel as a film, there was not like very confusing to do. We were quite clear of what we were doing.
The movie has multiple cameos, I think, especially of like directors and...
Yeah, because it was based on the film industry. That's why I had to call all my friends and say, please come make an appearance.
Is that like... How difficult is it to like get, I mean, get... Like,
they all agreed very, very instantly. Nobody had one thing to say.
Understood. Okay. Is it fair to say this was the most challenging movie for you to make or is there...
Yeah, it was.
Is it mostly due to the sync element involved or am I...
Yeah, there was a multiple thing because finally, you know... Though we were seeing every shot with the new, with the audio there, finally for it to come together, the impact on kind of screen, I was always unsure about it. It was a thing I wouldn't know it. It shot a lot. I've never shot so much for a film. I shot 75 days for a film. I would normally always shoot 40, 45 days. Never shot beyond that. This is a film I shot a lot. So I just felt somewhere unsure of certain things as I was doing. I was not sure the impact of it. As I felt it should be.
I want to comment. I want to ask you about the ending. My recollection is Dhanush dies and Mr. Bachchan survives.
Yeah.
Right. Any comments on the ending? Like why you had to like, you know, kill off Dhanush? Or I mean, is there a theory on that? Or
no, I just wanted to make the point that. See, you may have all the egos in your life. And, you know, I always have hated this title which people put in the form of in any film. You know, a film by so-and-so. Or so-and-so's film. I don't think it's anybody one person's film. The ego of anybody to say this is mine alone. It's not mine. It's a film that I wrote and directed. It's not my film alone. There's so many other people who are working on it. So I just want to make an artist a statement saying that, yeah, you may be the biggest artist in whatever way, but you need the other person. You would be nothing without the other person. And sometimes death gives you the, the reality. We sometimes realize the truth too late. We spend our life because life hasn't taught you lessons of absence. See, what happens is when you didn't have that person, you thought you were the genius. If you're given the chance, you would succeed. Another person comes into your life and you succeed together. Then suddenly you think that you are the real force because you always thought you were the force and you're the unlucky force. And you don't realize because if you get a break there and come back, maybe you have a chance. Life gives you a chance by killing your partnership in between and teaching you a lesson and then making you come back. But sometimes if life doesn't teach you that lesson, death only can teach you that lesson.
Do you have like a, I don't know, Dhanush of your own? Like in the sense, someone who you consider like your spiritual partner or, I don't know.
No, there are many, many partners. PC is my spiritual partner also, my cameraman. Rishi, who is my creative partner, writing partner, is also my spiritual partner. A lot of people are there. And Ilaiyaraaja is not only my spiritual partner, he's my guru in my motivation in filmmaking. Amit Trivedi is another great guy. So there are lots of people who you owe a lot of inspiration to, and you kind of owe a lot of the good things about every film. A lot of people deserve credit for it.
How much time did you spend on like naming of the movie Shamitab? Like, was that like...
I was quite clear at the beginning. It was actually Shah Rukh Khan and Amitabh Bachchan. Shah was Shah Rukh Khan, Amitabh. That was how it was coined.
Okay.
I remember Shah Rukh saying, why shouldn't it be Shahmitabh? I said, yeah, it would be correct. If it was for Shah Rukh Khan, it's correct. But for Amitabh, it's Hmitabh will not be correct. So it has to be Shahmitabh. So it has to be like that. So here I had an argument on that also. So
relatedly, I feel, like how difficult is it to work with like big stars? Like, I mean, in terms of like...
actually quite simple. They're all very professional people. In fact, when stars are convinced, it's wonderful to work with.